Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Coors Light presents Heavy Montreal, July 28th and 29th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau, featuring Avenged Sevenfold, Rob Zombie, and Marilyn Manson. A weekend of hard rock and metal with Gojira, Emperor, Under Oath, Hollywood Undead, and many more. Festival passes are on sale now. See the full lineup at HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Avenco.
Hey, this is LeJon Witherspoon with Seven Dust, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. This is the Sean Baker Orchestra with Which Way to Radioland.
We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We have two great guests, well actually three great guests. We have Michael Wilton and Todd LaTorre of Queensryche, and also LeJean Witherspoon with Seven Dust. And Seven Dust is a brand new record out, so make sure you go pick that up and support what these guys are up to. Big thanks to Kevin for setting up the interview. And yeah, well, on that note, let's get into some brand new Seven Dust music. This is Dirty. Mark Striegel with Talking Metal, and we are here in Midtown Manhattan with LeJean Witherspoon from Seven Dust. How are you, man?
I'm fantastic. I've been going all day long with press. It's like a crazy press tour, but it's incredible to go inside with May 11th with All I See Is War, so I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about that. The 12th studio album from you guys, which is coming out May 11th, All I See Is War, and, you know, been reading that you had a nice experience, a good experience doing this record. Can you expand upon that? What made it so pleasurable?
The producer, Elvis Bassett, was an incredible energy to work with. Someone, person I've wanted to work with for a long time. And to come into his home where the studio's at and him say, would you guys like to stay here? And I was the first band that's ever stayed in his house. It just, how can I explain it? To go to bed at night from the studio and then go into this beautiful house and then wake up and do it all over again, it was just a certain thing. And Elvis had a certain respect for us that was really, that I say I would love to work with him again in the future over and over again.
And this was your first time working with him,
first
right?
Time yeah. But we've known each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I've known his work and has always said, hey, man, we need to work together. I'm like, yeah, we're going to work together one day. And we always said it anytime we go to Florida. And for this chance to happen, man, and then I saw why it was meant to be.
And how did you first meet him? You said you'd known him a while.
Just through the guys in Tremonti,
right? Okay.
Just coming through and
yeah.
And knowing his music, you know, and the bands that he's worked with in the past, you always knew who he was. And then finally being able to be introduced to him, and then Elvis would show up at our shows at in Orlando, like Earth Day Birthday, and he really never goes out a lot too. So it was really cool to see him out. And it was, like I said, it was an experience, man. I never one day did I wake up and I didn't want to sing with them. I always was excited about it.
And what was so different in the way he approached things as opposed to other producers?
Well, you know, I'm not taking anything from other producers. They're all great. But Elvis, you know, he's a singer. He's a writer.
Right.
He understands everything. I've never seen a producer work the way that he works in the studio, as far as... I was this close to him. I was beside him, and the glass window was here, so I could watch him, and we could kind of feed off each other. And it was never where he wanted, hey, you should try this or do this. It was a respect of, that sounds great. You like this idea? Or, you know, it was just really cool, and he approached everything with, I don't know how to say it. It was just an amazing thing. I think I would recommend anyone working with him. They would love the experience, I think.
Cool. And as far as the record goes, how do you compare this to other records? Do you feel like, I mean, we've heard the two singles, they're currently out. We heard Dirty earlier in the podcast. Do you feel this is, you guys are stepping in a different direction musically? How do you compare this to what Seven Dust has done
in the past? I think we went in and I really feel like we've grown, and you can tell with this. But one of the first things Elvis said was, he said, you know what? I want to get back to that old Seven Dust sound, but new.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we did. I think we were able to get some of the ting, 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 you know, the things that were familiar, that young feel. And he was able to capture that. I think it was good for him to be there just to police it, because I think, if anything, we probably would have wanted to go more obscure and abstract, because at this point, you know, you want to pull all the bells and whistles out you can. Yeah. But that was what he kind of tamed us down and said, let's be you guys and let's.
Yeah.
Let's do what we know, and it's different because you guys have grown as a band anyway, and that's what I think he was able to hone in on with us.
Now, talking about the band itself, for the most part, I mean, there's been a little deviation, but you guys have been able to remain the same core members for so long. And nowadays, I mean, I go and see bands, it's like one original member, and it's the drummer, you know? Yeah, it's like, over 20 years you guys have been doing this. How do you keep it together?
We love each other, man. You know, we're brothers. I mean, days you got, oh, that guy's a douchebag, you know. But it's, yeah, we're brothers. It's going to be like that. I think that we're destined to do this, and I could never take it for granted. And we've been very blessed, and I think that we all kind of look at it that way. It's like it's a job to do. We've grown up with these people, and I don't say fans, I say family. And the only reason we're still here is because they have allowed us to be, you know.
The people who support you guys.
If they didn't want, you know, we wouldn't be doing it. You know, we would have to probably just go away or just be in one town somewhere, you know. But we've been very lucky.
And when you think of those people, the Seven Dust fans and family and community, if you will. What comes to mind about these people? Because a lot of them, they're pretty hardcore.
What comes to mind is I was 21 years old when we started this band, and I get to see people now. I'm 45 years old. I have 3 kids, and I'm seeing people that have had kids, and their kids have had kids, and they're hanging out with us, and it's like, I'm sorry your dad's making you listen to this, but is it cool? And they're like, this is cool, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to see and watch and go to these towns and have a 20th anniversary tour that we did. I mean, and people that hadn't been around for 20 years came out, you know what I mean? And it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, for the first record, which I guess now is, what, 21 years old?
Yeah, 21 years,
Yeah.
So we can't do the 20 year anymore.
Well, talking about the tour, the upcoming tour, you guys are about to go out, I believe, next week, right?
Oh, God, is it? No, please, not
2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks. Sorry, it's like, oh, I'm scared.
What can we expect? A lot of new songs in the set list.
Well, you know, we'll wait to put. You know, we'll probably have Dirty out at the start,
right?
And you know, another maybe not original, and then we'll wait for the second single before we start playing that. So, it'll be a whole. But the set's completely revamped up and different. You know, when you have 200 or something songs, it's kind of hard to put a set list together, but we got a new show and a new light show, so we're excited about taking it out and rocking this tour with Memphis Mayfire and Fire from the Gods.
Cool. Cool.
So, and they're label mates too.
Oh, nice. And what label you guys
We just signed to Rise Records.
Rise Records. Okay, cool.
Incredible venture. it was very fun to be at this point in your career and start courting labels. And
right.
it's kind of like a bunch of girls liking the way I like to look at it. And you got to pick which one you want to hang out with. So we pick Rise.
Right. Nice. Nice. Cool. Let's talk a little bit about you and your history. When you look back on this incredible career that you've had with Seven Dust, are there certain moments or events that jump out as highlights?
Woodstock 99.
Woodstock. Okay.
Anytime that we've gone overseas to, anytime we've gone overseas, and especially what stands out to me is Afghanistan,
wow,
Iraq, Mosul, and places like that we've gone over for the troops. And those were amazing, very heartfelt times. I remember playing a hub in Mosul, and they had to take us in like a tanker thing with a gun, the gunnery. And they're like, wow. Yeah, these guys over here are supposed to be our allies, but a couple of our guys have gotten picked off. And we're like,
wow.
There's a medic with us, and we're like, what are we doing here?
Right.
And all of a sudden we went into this hub, and there's only 300 soldiers or troops there, and they were called the Diablos.
Right.
And they were living in this makeshift blown up building.
This is Afghanistan.
Yes. Wow. Man, and we're there, and we're on stage, and we're jamming an acoustic set, and they're looking at us like, what are y'all doing here? But thank you for being here. And you can hear bombs going off, and
wow,
yeah, man, it was crazy. And that was kind of
was things. This through the what is it, the OS?
Yeah,
OSO?
Oh yeah, yeah, USA. Yeah, yeah. And then there was another company there. I forget who, Knight something, but yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah,
and we would go over and do it. Man, we had a lot of crazy times and a lot of people that are incredible. Like when we finally went to South Korea, a few of the kids that were in Afghanistan were there. And
oh wow,
so I remember one night we went all the way back, so we didn't get to play Camp Carol or Casey, one of the places that MASH was kind of spun from.
Yeah.
And it was raining, so we didn't get to play it. So some kids that were troops that were in Afghanistan that hadn't seen us since then actually went AWOL, got in trouble, came back with us, stayed all night long, didn't check back in, and just partied because they felt like, wow, we're seeing a piece of home for a second. So we got a lot of people in trouble.
But wow.
What a good night we had.
Wow. And Woodstock 99, now that ended for some, that was, there were some riots. And,
oh, I was there. I was on stage watching the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They had the socks on their ding-lings.
Right.
And that was a little weird, but it was still awesome to see the band. I'd never seen it before. And I remember watching out into the crowd, and all of a sudden a big fire.
Right.
Something, I don't know if it's a water thing, but all I remember is like I felt like almost famous after I got to see the movie. But they rushed everybody to the tour buses and said, you guys got to get out of here. Everybody's got to get out of here. It's going to be a riot. And when you're on your bus, you got to duck down. It was just, you know, it was the experience. It was so crazy. But I got to hang out with Willie Nelson on that day and on his tour bus. So it was real cool.
Oh, nice. Cool. What was your first concert? Do you remember your first concert? Was it a big event for you in your life?
Yeah, because I got to see New Edition and Albie Shore. I just said that. Someone asked me that question earlier, and it was at the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, and what an experience. Right. And Albie Shore, being from New York, it was weird. His setup was when he ran out on the stage, he ran out with like a whole force of New York. They were dressed like New York police officers. It was really cool. I remember that as a kid. That had to be in my early teens.
Right, cool. And as far as your vocal stylings go, were there certain singers that were influential on how you sang?
No, all of them.
Like, who were some of your early?
From Prince to Michael Jackson to Stevie Wonder to you name it, Thin Lizzy.
Right.
You know, everything, man. My family music was always around. When I would go to the farm, my grandma, Big Daddy, and Big Mama's house. In the summer, it was nothing but country music because, you know, they had horses and they were country folk. So that was always cool, you know, and bringing that back home. And so my house now, there's all kind of music. That's what I like for my kids. You don't have to listen to just that. You listen to this. We classical. We listen to jazz, R&B, you know, everything. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you remember the first time you guys got together and jammed? Do you have vivid memories of that?
I remember when Morgan and Vinny and John, they came in and got me out. I was playing at this place I worked at on Monday nights. We just jam session, and these guys came in and said, hey man, we'd like to kind of jam with you. And we went down to this rehearsal space, and
so they had seen you at an open mic night.
We'd seen each other growing up. I used to have a band called Body and Soul at the time.
Okay.
But we kind of dismembered, and I was just kind of jamming with a couple of guys on a Monday night, and they came in and said, hey man, we'd like to jam with you. And we sat down, and we had put two songs together, and it just had a sound. And I remember we were like, this whatever the name's going to be, this is it right here. And we went out and actually jammed under the name Crawl Space.
Oh, wow.
We didn't have a name yet. And jammed two songs at this place, Charlie McGruder's, and everybody went nuts because we were all
Was that
bands.
An open mic night type
thing?
Yeah.
And we got up on stage and jammed these two songs. They were heavy. And it was awesome. Yeah. Black was one of them. It was the first song.
Wow. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
And everybody went nuts, and they were like, do it again. And we got on stage again, and we did it. We switched the songs around, but that was only two songs. Crazy and Black, man. And from then on, we were like, I guess we got to go back and write some songs because we got a band, and they seem to like it. And that's what happened. And Clint got in the band, and we sevened us.
Wow. And how much later was it that the first record came out in
97.
97. So when was that first jam?
I don't know. Was it 96.5? Yeah,
so, pretty fast. 90, though, things move fast.
Yeah, they move fast. Yeah, but actually, when TBT Records came to see us, they for the Gavin convention, they weren't there to see us. They thought it was a strip club, and we were inside playing.
Wow.
Because we wanted to play, even though we weren't in the Gavin convention, we wanted hopefully somebody to loop over and come see us, and that's what happened. And I remember them giving us a card and said, TBT Records, we're really interested in you guys. And it took us about a year, and we were ready, and then we came back and talked to them. We signed a record deal.
Wow.
I was 21 years old.
Wow, cool. And through your career, you've obviously met a lot of rock stars, a lot of musicians and artists that are big time and famous. Who are some of the ones that you've really been starstruck by?
Ozzy,
yeah.
Yeah, but he was so cool. You know, it was,
right.
After the initial, oh my God, I can't believe we're touring with Ozzy. Ozzy took Seven Dust. It was just Seven Dust and Ozzy on an Australian run, which was incredible. And we got to fly on the plane, the same jet.
You guys did Ozfest too.
Yeah, we did Ozfest back in 98. That was great. Ozzy's always been, you know, just bigger than life. And then he was just so cool. Just,
right.
I remember running into him when we were getting ready to do the tour. And I walked up and I was like, hey, man, I just want to thank you. I can't believe we get ready to go out on tour with you. And he's like, you know, so many people walk up to him. And I remember a security guard hitting him. He's like, that's LJ. I was like, oh, my God, LJ, come back here. And, you know, it's funny because he's just going through the mo, you know, cool. And I'm like, no, thank you. So, yeah, and then Sharon's always been cool to us. And let's see, who else would have starstruck? I don't know, Maynard.
Maynard and a Tool.
Yeah, because back in he was on that Ozfest, I was starstruck back then. Right. I love Perfect Circle. I love anything he does. But yeah, that's probably about it right there. Yeah. And then Metallica, I was a little starstruck too by them. Yeah. We actually toured with Metallica. We did the Silver Dome with them before in Kid Rock. That was a good time for us. But everybody else has been pretty cool and approachable. And everyone's pretty approachable. I've never had someone that's been a douchebag to me at all.
Cool.
I don't have time for those people. I don't want to meet them.
You know? Right on. And so you mentioned Tool. A Perfect Circle has a new record coming out.
I love it. I love the song, the single Talk. Is it Talk?
Well, there's Doomed is one. There's like, I think two or three songs.
Okay, yeah,
out
there's,
on
I've
iTunes.
Heard one. Yeah, I love, yeah. But I love everything. And I could be a little biased because Three Libras and I'm a Libra. That's one of my favorite songs in the world, man. Sure. Maynard is just a man.
Cool. And do you expect, I mean, it's been so long since we had a Tool record. I mean, people are like, Maynard referred to it as Chinese Democracy 2 in an interview recently. Do you expect, what do you expect from the next Tool record?
I can't wait. You know what's weird about this is you're asking about Tool, is I didn't realize it until like a year ago that the drummer lives in Kansas.
Somewhere.
I live in Overland Park, Kansas, and he lives somewhere. So I just thought that was very odd.
Yeah, that is odd. Yeah.
A friend of mine said, yeah, man, I saw him at the strip club here. I was like, what? I didn't realize we had a strip club. I was like, cool.
Cool. Well, we are talking with LeJean from Seven Dust and the new record, again, All I See Is War, the 12th studio album, is out. So you're doing this run, this tour, mm-hmm. initial run. How many months? 2 months, is that?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So I'm going to tell you, I'll give it to you. So 4/20, we play the first show with Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
And what's cool about this and coincided with the album is we do 18 headline shows in this 6 week run, but all the rest are the big festivals.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool to be able to promote the album in front of all those people and do the dirty, the new song, and then go back and do a headline show the next night.
What festivals are you guys doing?
All the women, all those festivals. And we just got added to, we just found out we're doing Aftershock in October. So we're doing Carolina Rebellion Rock Fest June 2nd, which will be the last day on the end of the tour. Yeah. Everything, you name it, we'll be there.
Right. Are you doing Heavy Montreal? Or
No, not that. Yeah, but we're doing Fort Rock, Rockville, all those things.
Okay, very cool. Well, we're looking forward to the new record. All I See Is War, Seven Dust. And yeah, thanks so much for speaking with us on Talking Metal.
Awesome, brother. Thank you very much. Cool.
Heard with some classic Seven Dust here on Talking Metal. Make sure you go support these guys. Buy All I See Is War right now on Amazon. You can use our Amazon links on the show notes for today's episode. That's talkingmetal.com or talkingrock.net. Go use our Amazon links to buy All I See Is War by Seven Dust, or some classic Seven Dust, or buy diapers for your kid. I don't care. Just go use our Amazon links because that helps us out. All right. Cool, guys. And without further ado, I want to check in with my brother, Ian McCurdy, who's currently out at the KISS Expo in Indianapolis. I'm recording this episode on Mother's Day, May 13th. So let's check in with Ian. And then right after our little check-in with Ian, we'll go right into the Queensryche interview, which was recorded at M3 last week, probably almost a week and a half ago by the time you guys hear it. It was recorded on May 5th. So here, I'm going to call Ian right now. We're going to talk, see what's going on at the KISS Expo in Indianapolis this weekend. And then after that, we'll get into some Queensryche here on Talking Metal. And yeah, before we get into this interview, we're going to check in with the guy I did the interview with. He is Ian McCurdy, and you guys probably know him. He helps out Talking Metal quite a bit. And right now, on the day we are recording this episode, which is actually, what is the date? It is the 13th of May. Ian is out at the KISS convention in Indianapolis. Ian, what's going on out there?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for calling. Everything's going good here. I'm at the table with Robert Fleischman. We're working here and selling some Robert Fleischman CDs and the Sky CDs and Vinnie Vincent Invasion CDs and, you know, 8x10s and things like that, and selling his prints. It's just really a good thing here. We're having a good time.
Cool. Well, you were with me.
Hey, say hello to the Talking Metal fans, Robert.
Hey, Talking Metal.
Hey, Robert.
Pleasure being able to let you know what's going on here at the Expo, the KISS Expo in Indiana. We're having a great time. Ace Frehley, Bob Kulick, Eric Singer. We're all enjoying everyone's love here.
Awesome. Great to talk with you again, Robert. And busy out there. It looks like there's a ton of people.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy out here, man. It's
okay,
just like,
Ian's back.
yes, it's Ian back again. Sorry, okay. We're really crazy here. It's got a lot of people. I just wanted just to have a moment to talk here. I'm actually, our table is beside Roman Fernandez.
Sure.
And he's going to say hello to you a little bit, tell you what he's doing with the Bill of Coin Foundation.
Oh, cool. Well, we had
hey guys, how are you doing? So yeah, we're here at the Indie Expo, the 20th anniversary of the Indie Expo. And as you guys may know, we're trying to get Bill of Coin inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For those of you out there who are not here with us, if you would like to sign the petition, just go to inductbill.com, and that's going to pull up the petition page. All we need to do is get your name, get your email address, send it off, and we're off to the races. So
wow,
every
cool.
name's going to count. We appreciate your help, guys.
Cool. Absolutely. Cool.
Is this Mark?
Yeah, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah. Roman, how are you?
Good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, great to
I'm
talk
good,
with
good.
You. Yeah, we had so much fun having you on that Bill of Coin special that we did. I think that was back in, like, January. I can't remember, but that was such a great episode.
Something like that. So, yeah, thank you, Mark. No, I appreciate that opportunity, buddy. Thank you. And
yeah.
It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I know you're working, so
let's
yeah. connect down the road again. I'd love to hear more of your stories and hear where things are at with the induction whatever are you know, yeah, that you're trying to make happen. So let's definitely connect again down the road.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Mark, and here's Ian once again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
thank
yeah,
you, Roman.
Yeah, we're jumping all around here. We got Robert Fleischman, Ian McCurdy, and Roman Fernandez. Yeah, so great stuff.
Yeah, we're
what
also
is the
out here at Go ahead.
What is the vibe like out there, Ian? Like I was with you in Atlanta at the KISS Expo down there that Vinnie Vincent made his return to, the premier event of him returning. Vinnie Vincent is not at this expo, but you have all sorts of great people out there besides Robert Fleischman and Roman Fernandez. I saw a live stream that
right.
John Astronomy Ostrowski put up of Bruce Kulick and Ace like doing pictures with the fans together. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it's a great event, man. It's a lot of positive energy here. We got lots of people like Mark Slaughter's here and Lita Ford is here. And who else? Bobby Rock and Anton Figg. And actually,
wow.
There's going to be a Frehley's Comet reunion tonight
okay.
with
so,
Anton Figg, John Regan, Todd Howarth, and Ace.
Wow.
So,
and so do you have any word on, like,
awesome.
Are they doing a full set or don't you really know?
I know two songs, but I don't know the songs, or I can't divulge that information.
Okay. All right. Well, this will be posted after the fact.
It's going to be great.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
It is, again, May 13th.
One last thing. I'm here. Yeah. One last thing. I'm here with my buddy Ron Whitmore. He's been doing these expos for years and years. And I'd love to just take a couple seconds to tell you the unique stuff that he has here.
Okay.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, Ron. So you're a vendor at the expo?
I am, yes, sir.
Cool. So what are you selling out there at the Indianapolis KISS? Or what is it, an expo, convention? What's the official name of this thing?
I guess it's called an expo, but it's basically,
right.
I mean, in the 90s they were called conventions, and now they're called expos. But basically, you know, vendors,
artists, bands, you know, memorabilia. I sell mostly vintage, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, albums, posters, tour books, photographs, you know, 8-tracks, you know, 45s, 12-inch imports, a few signed things, but I'm not really a big autograph guy. Mostly, you know, rare European pressings, colored vinyl from Mexico, colored vinyl from France.
Let me ask you, how much is a Kiss 8-track worth? Like, if I had the Gene Simmons solo, you know, 78 album on 8-track, how much would something like that go for?
They're really not worth that much. I mean, maybe $10. You know, if you had one sealed, you know, maybe $40, $40-$50. But an open one, you know, you can find those. If it's well played, you know, $5 to $10. If it's near mint, you know, you might be able to get a little more for it. But yeah, 8-tracks were fairly common. The earlier ones had rare labels and stuff, different pressings of them. Like the first three records, Kiss, Hotter Than Hell, Dressed to Kill. So some of those can go for a little more money. The Originals, which was a three-album set that came out in 76, they released on 8-track, and that's probably the rarest U.S. Kiss 8-track set to find.
Nice. Cool. So do you sell this stuff online, too?
Those can go for like $100 if you have, you know, just the two 8-tracks. And then if it has... came with a booklet and some cards. If you have those, it could go for anywhere $300, $400, $500, $600 if you have a complete sealed set. So
right on. Cool.
Sealed's where the money's at with 8-tracks. I mean, but there's, if you want to play them and listen to them, you can pick them up. They're not that hard to find. You know, $5, $10, $15.
Right.
Depending on which one you're looking for.
Right on. Cool, man. Well, best of luck out there. It sounds like it's quite an event. And, yeah, I guess if you hand me back over to Ian, we'll sign off here from the Kiss Expo.
Okay, man. Nice talking to you, man. Have a good
day. Thanks, Ron.
All right,
Ian. Well, it sounds like it's quite an event, and I'm glad Robert's out there being
great here, man.
Yeah, cool.
I wish you were here. This was a really cool event. We've got Paul Stanley guitars here. We've got Gene Simmons basses. You can buy them. We've got all around here, we've got replicas where people, you hear the crowd, it's getting a little crazy because we're near the Eric Singer table now. It's getting kind of crowded.
Oh, Eric is there?
Eric is here. He's like 5 feet away from me, yes, but he's busy at his table. He's right next to about two tables down from us, and he's right next to the Kiss replica where you can buy a Kiss replica. Costume that looks just like it. So they're selling all that stuff here, and Eric's here, and he's selling his pitchers and drumsticks and all kinds of cool stuff. It's really good to be here.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like the Kiss community and the business of Kiss is fully represented in Indianapolis this weekend. You were out there working with Robert Fleischman. And, yeah, man, sometime we got to find out if their plans with Robert and Vinny, if those have materialized. I'd love to talk with Robert down the road a little bit more about what's going on with Vinny Vincent.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Well,
cool.
Something's cooking, but nothing yet.
Okay.
The stew is being made, but that's all
right.
We can talk about.
I got you. Cool. Well, listen, we're going to right now get into our interview that you and I conducted on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2018, at the Great M3 Festival. You were helping out Talking Metal a lot that weekend, and I really appreciate all your help. And you actually sat in on this interview with me. It's with Todd LaTorre and Michael Wilton of Queensryche. And wow, what a great closer to the 10-year anniversary of M3. And we were able to score this interview. So we're going to get into that right now on the podcast. And also, guys, I wanted to mention there will be a video version of this posted in the show notes on talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com. So if you want to watch Ian and I do the interview, the camera is mostly on Michael and Todd, although it does pan over occasionally to Ian and myself. You can go to the show notes on the website, and I'll also post that video at that location. But for you audio listeners of the podcast, here we go. This is Ian McCurdy and Mark Striegel interviewing Queensryche at M3 2018. Thanks, Ian.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling. Bye.
We're good, Michael?
Oh, okay, video. Here we go.
If that's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Mark Striegel and Ian McCurdy with Talking Metal, and we are here with Michael and Todd of Queensryche. Thanks for doing this, guys, and talking with us. It is the 10-year anniversary of M3. Just a general M3 question for you guys. What does this festival mean to you guys?
Well, it means a lot to us because festivals for bands that came, you know, from the 80s, there's still places to play. So this is a monumental, concert, and we're happy to be included in this. And tonight's going to be really fun. We're going to give you a power-packed Queensryche show. And, it's just it's something that's become an institution that all the bands want to play, you know. So it's just a great event all in all.
Absolutely. And you guys are in the studio right now. How far along is the third record with Todd?
it's probably more, two-thirds of the way done.
A little more than two-thirds.
More than that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess so. I'm actually flying back to Massachusetts to finish the last two songs on vocals. I know that Michael and Parker finished all the guitar solos. So our engineer and producer, Chris Zeus Harris, he's been mixing and kind of taking care of those things while we've been on the road. So we've gotten some updated mixes, and it sounds really great. It's really looking forward to people hearing that. Yeah, we're excited.
You brought such life to the band, Todd. I mean, you know, no disrespect to the few records you did before with Jeff, but I've been so excited with the stuff that
Thank
you guys
you.
Have done. Musically, Queensryche has hit different, stylistically different places throughout their career. What are we looking at with this record?
I would say that this album still shows the diversity that one would expect from a Queensryche album.
Okay.
You know, there's aggressive things on this record. I think that there are certainly more elements that are progressive in terms of thinking and playing.
Great.
Some fun time signatures. Some vocal acrobatics, great rhythm and harmony guitars that you always expect from the band. Michael's written so many great songs, and it's been a little more challenging as the vocalist because he has such a unique way of writing that it's not just 101 and very boxed in. It's very sometimes experimental.
Right.
And but I think that this album is definitely, you know, the direction that we hoped for. You never know when you're in the demo phase and you're writing, you're like, wow, do we hear an album here? And fast forward to where we are now, it definitely has a unified sound, but offers the dark and slower elements, also with the very driving, heavy awesome. Elements as well.
You're so, getting me very excited just the way you're describing it.
So
man.
Do you say this is complements the two with before with you on vocals, or is this more of kind of a departure where you want to go eventually?
I would never say a departure. I would just say an evolution with me in the band and gelling with these guys. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging because of, you know, being on the road and things like that. But, I think it's certainly equals or exceeds what I've been able to do with the band so far.
Right.
And I think everyone would probably agree with that. We're in a new headspace, and I think the music represents that. So, you know, it's ours for now, but once it gets released, it's yours.
Right.
And so hopefully you guys like what we've worked very hard
to create. We can't wait. And obviously there's been a lot of speculation about the drums, who's playing the drums. Some people think maybe
even
you're...
Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah, okay. There's been rumors that you play the drums on it, but I guess we just have to wait on that.
You'll just have to wait and listen and see.
And it has been five...
to 6 years now, I think, since you guys have been working together. How has that working relationship and personal relationship evolved? Because obviously there's always that honeymoon phase when you first get together. Has the relationship gone to a different place?
I think so. I mean, with this lineup, obviously with Todd involved, it's a shot of adrenaline. You know, he's got a lot of great ideas and he's not afraid to take chances. And so we're not pigeonholed into writing a certain style. And, you know, we're at a point where the band is just cohesively bonding and growing as a band.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about being in a band, is everybody's personalities and just their talents melding into something that you don't know what it's going to be, right? And that's what's exciting for me, you know, just seeing what the five of us come up with.
Right. Well, and to just rewind, if I could, you were very complimentary saying, you know, what I've been able to do for the band. And, you know, the reciprocal from me would be that these guys have had this all along.
Yeah.
It's just now there's no boundary. There's no stifling. There's no, that's too heavy. You know, that's my roots. And I respect whatever they throw at me musically. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, Michael has vocal ideas and lyrics, and I have a guitar riff or an idea that I'll show him. And Parker, you know, everyone goes outside of their own, you know, instruments per se, and it makes it really a band effort. And I think that's fun when your ego can be shelved and you say, hey, what's really going to make this song the best? Hey, you know, what about singing it this way? Let me try it.
Right.
You know, I'm open to their suggestions, and they're very open-minded to my suggestions or anybody else's in the band, because ultimately we just want whatever is really best for the song, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about, is the music. And, you know, I feel so thankful every day I'm in this band that these guys, you know, Michael's the guy that found me and brought me into the fold. And, you know, and so for a band like Queensryche that's been around so long, to give the quote new guy the kind of freedom that I have, I'm so thankful, because I've seen other big bands where a new guy comes in and it's do it like this, say it like that, dress like this.
Right.
And there's no, you can't express yourself. With these guys, they let me be exactly who I am. And I respect and understand the legacy of the band, but also not being afraid to inject what I think could be beneficial to the band in creating new music and things like that. And so it's really been seamless for 6 years now.
Right. Very cool. And Michael, when I recently went back and I was looking back through all those old Queensryche records, and it was funny because so many of the songs that were what I'd call heavy back in the day, you have a songwriting credit on those songs. Is it fair to say that back in those times you were kind of the person who drove the band into a heavier place, if you were like more of a metal place?
Well, I mean, when we first started out, we were pretty young.
Right.
You know, we were teenagers, so of course we wanted the heavy aggressive stuff because that's what was cool. You know, I still write really heavy stuff,
right,
but it's kind of ingrained in my DNA, you know, that's the way I write, you know, and I like it hard and heavy, you know, sometimes, but, you know, I can, you know, I took classical guitar, so I'm, you know, varied in my guitar talents, but, you know, for Queensryche, it's whatever works, you know, so if it's going to be really, really heavy, it's going to be really, really heavy, you know, I'm not going to soften it up for Todd or anything, you know, it's like.
Don't do that to me.
So, but.
And I know that you were a fan of the band from way back. Were you the first album, or did you kind of pick it up? Like myself, I really discovered you all, 86, opening for Ozzy. And I was like, who is this band? And ever since then, I went back. But were you earlier or that about?
So a friend of mine who was a mentor of mine as a drummer, because I'm a drummer too, he turned me on to the Mindcrime cassette. And then I remember going to like a Specs Music. And was it Specs? It was something like that. Anyway, and so I went to find Queensryche, and the only thing available was the Warning. So I bought the Warning, and that lived in my CD player in my car for literally almost 2 years. And that's you know, one of my all-time favorite albums. And that record to me, you know, so to answer your question, I started My Crime, went backwards, and then, you know, moved forward.
That's great. Yeah, just I always loved Rage for Order. It was always my favorite, and that's where I discovered.
It's an amazing record, and we play some songs off of that. I think we may play one off of that tonight. But yeah, those, you know, to me, that was the Queensryche that I always loved. And so, you know, I think on this new album, there have been times where we've said, wow, this is kind of Rage-ish, you know, in the progressive nature in terms of thinking. Right. You know, I think a lot of people, when they think of progressive rock or metal, they think of bands like Dream Theater, where it's like very complex time signatures and patterns. And that Queensryche doesn't think of progressive music that way. We think of it as a thought process. Pink Floyd is very progressive. Right. And you would never compare them to a band like Meshuggah or Dream Theater or anything like that. Frank Zappa, very progressive. So Queensryche is, you know, coined as a pioneering progressive metal band, but I think it's more in terms of the approach behind the music, more, whereas it's not so blatant with very abrupt time signature changes and things. We always want to have a nice flow to the music, and so, you know, I think that there are elements in the new album that are reflective of certainly the earlier roots of Queensryche, but obviously more mature today.
Awesome. Well, it's exciting stuff. We don't want to keep you too long. I know you guys have a show, and we want to be respectful of that. Real quick, Todd, you got some solo stuff you're working on, is that correct?
So I've been working on solo stuff forever.
Right, okay.
We all have.
You got some solo stuff you're working on too?
Well, Michael had Soulbender and Ratchet Head. Yeah. And, you know, he's got...
Someday.
He has hard drives full of stuff that the world hasn't heard. Some of it becomes a Queensryche song, but a lot of it is a different vein.
You can't do more than one thing at a time.
So. Right. So for my solo stuff, you know, when this album is done being recorded, I will go back and start working on my own stuff when I have the downtime at home. And that'll be, you know, like I said, a way more aggressive, kind of a thrash, kind of Pantera meets Black Label, but with my vocal stylings. You know, not trying to reinvent the wheel, but I've got a lot of aggression and a lot of things that I'd like to get out musically that it'll be fun. So, you know, it's still in the works.
Nice.
But Queensryche is always priority. First and foremost, is right? Always first and foremost, yeah.
Perfect. Cool. Well, guys, thank you so much. We hope you have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
You are closing the 10-year anniversary of the great M3 Festival, a festival that keeps alive this music that us fanboys just love. And Queensryche is a band that is still out there keeping it alive. So thanks to you, yeah. Michael, especially for, you know, keeping the Queensryche brand and band going all these years.
Thanks a lot. You know, I appreciate the fans wanting to hear our music, so that's why we're here.
Yeah, and, you know, the band has, you know, steadily climbed our way up to being able to headline tonight, which is, we're very thankful to M3 and also to the people that, I know there's online voting and polls and things that they use as some kind of a barometer, litmus test, you know, and so we're very fortunate to be asked to come back. Regardless of the time slot, it's always a great time, and they've obviously done a lot with the venue since the last time we were here, and so it's
put it back together. The roof fell down.
Well, I mean, there's all new construction, and it's the facility is top notch, and we're very happy to be here.
Awesome, cool. A release date for the new album, has that been decided?
You know, we were shooting originally for maybe a September, October-ish.
Okay.
But there is some talk about some possible bonus content. And so we're in talks with Century Media, our label. And so if that ends up being the case, it'll be pushed back a few more months.
Okay.
But, you know, nothing catastrophic, but You know, we just want the best quality to come out. So if it's the beginning of next year, it's the beginning of next year. But we just want to, it's been a couple few years since the last release, and we want to make sure that everything is the way we want it.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Screaming in Digital by Queensryche here on Talking Metal. A big thanks to Todd LaTorre and Michael Wilton for sitting down with us at the M3 Festival. Wow, what a great festival that is. Guys, if you haven't been to M3, you definitely got to go next year. I plan to go every single year. And to close out today's show, let's end with one of my favorite Queensryche songs of the past decade. This is Spore. Listen to this riff. God, I mean, that's intense. What a great freaking guitar riff. What a great song. Spore by Queensryche, taking us out here on Talking Metal. Go support Queensryche with Todd LaTorre. So good, so good. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time. Laying in the dark, cutting from a glass. No job for blood emotions. No.